Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You want to do three things?
Let's do three things.
Let's do some three things. Grandy, I'm rooting against you tonight, but not until the show's over. So how about a little musical accompaniment, if you please? You want to go first or you want me to go first?
Go ahead and go first. Be the tone setter.
All right, here it is. My first thing, and I'm sorry to say it, but this is how I feel, kind of like Kyle Shanahan in this moment. I don't miss Dre Greenlaw anymore. I really wanted the 49ers to keep him. I was feeling some kind of way about the Niners letting him go. And I'm not saying it's definitive that they were right and I was wrong or any of those things. It's been one football game. But, my friends, D. Winters is a baller. That man is really got it dialed. He knows exactly how to play the position. He knows the energy that the position requires. And, oh, by the way, he's younger and healthier. Not that Dre is old, but did you see what Dre did for the Broncos yesterday? Did you see that? He didn't play.
No.
He's hurt again.
Oh, boy.
So I get it. I love Dre Greenlaw. I'll always love Dre Greenlaw. It's super unfortunate what has happened in his career since the moment that the Super Bowl took place a year and a half ago. But we are where we are. And the 49ers have their Dre Greenlaw replacement.
Yes, and he is the shining star in a draft that is mostly forgettable. 2023, Jair Brown, Jake Moody, Cameron Latu, Daryl Luter, Robert Beal. These are people who might still be football players somewhere. Unfortunately, your kicker's still around, but six-round D winners, yeah. He absolutely popped off the screen. I was loving watching him play, and it kind of leads to what my first one will be. And
fire away.
It was my second one, but it's going to be my first one because it plays off of what you're saying. Robert Saleh has this defense playing downhill. And it reminds me of the defense that he used to coordinate, where guys are just absolutely flying to the ball. And yesterday, you can count on one hand or maybe even less than that, missed tackles. They were fitting in against the run. And Seattle's got a couple of good running backs, and they were dedicated to running the ball, but the Niners were able to contain that run, and a lot of it was D winners, as you were saying, but Kalia Davis with a couple up front, Sam Okawanu,
he was really good,
with a forced fumble.
If you like PFF, Sam O, your highest rated defender yesterday.
Love it, and part of that is because of that forced fumble, but the defense is part bend but don't break, but also part like downhill violence, and that to me was a Robert Saleh fingerprint yesterday.
Okay, you want to go first for round two?
Go, no, you go ahead, Mark. Okay. You're doing great.
All right.
You're doing a heck of a job over
thanks,
there.
Thanks, Dibs.
Yeah, you're hot. You got it.
The offensive line was troubling. I thought the offensive line was troubling. I don't think that we're in a spot where we need to panic necessarily as of yet, but again, to borrow the stat that I was trumpeting last hour, Brock Purdy faced a 58% pressure rate, 57.9 to be exact, and that is the highest of his career. And that is not a sustainable way to win football games. It changes a little bit my view of the way Purdy played, in fact, because he did not take a lot of sacks. Did he take any sacks?
One.
He took one sack.
Yep.
Well, on a 58% pressure rate, that's fantastic. His feel for movement within the pocket was really good. His receivers were not always available. And so I get why he might force a thing or two, even though they might have been bad decisions. So anyway, back to the bigger point. Trent Williams was not what, you know, not at the level that you would want him to be. I know Pooney was down on the ground at one point. McKivitz got the extension. From an individual basis, I still think they've got some good players there, but as a collective group, they got outplayed in passing situations yesterday. I would love to see that get better this weekend.
Yeah, it leads me right into my second one, which is the offensive line was better than you think. And by you think, I mean the collective group think. Grandy, I think, I was listening to Overtime yesterday. And if you want to look at the offensive line and how they did running the ball, they were pretty darn good running the football. Now, a lot of those run plays were set up against 8, 9, and even 10-man boxes, which doesn't matter how good your O-line is. You're going to lose that play. They gave up some pressures, absolutely, but in the key moments, this offense was able to convert third downs. They converted half of their third downs in the game. The offensive line had some rough moments, not a ton of penalties. I know Trent had a hold and McKivitz had a false start, but I found on a second watching of the game that the offensive line was actually better than I had initially thought.
Well, it's a fair kind of angle to take on this whole thing. In watching the game, it wasn't that I thought they were awful. But Brock was running for his life a whole lot, and they were not able to complete balls to wide receivers very often, which is usually the tell for a good offense to a great one. Like, there are actually a handful of quarterbacks in this league. They can complete the ball on checkdowns. They can complete the ball to the tight end who's, like, standing right over there 7 yards away. Can you get your wide receivers involved? That's what the great ones can do, and Brock had a hard time with that yesterday. Part of that is the receiver core being so banged up.
Right.
Part of that is also the pressure rate was too great, and therefore there just wasn't always a lot of time to go for those downfield strikes.
They had a few, and the double move to Ricky Pearsall was obviously well blocked to allow Brock to have that much time to pump fake and then fire to Pearsall. And, you know, the Tonjes one for the touchdown, the game winner, that was a full-on scramble play, so things had broken down. I think Trent got beat on the left side of that play as well, but I just look at 38 minutes of time of possession, and the majority of their run plays garnered positive yards. And third and long, they were able to protect on those and convert. So a little bit inconsistent, but I found watching it again that the O-line was better than many people are giving them credit for.
I mean, they definitely ran the ball better than their counterparts did. Kenneth Walker was totally and completely bottled up in this football game. Okay, round three for me, three things right here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. And this one is, I hate saying it. I really do.
You don't hate it, otherwise you wouldn't do it.
No, but I feel it. I do hate it, but I feel it.
Just say it.
Juwan Jennings made a bad bet.
Mm.
He made a bad bet. And I say that not knowing what the numbers were that the 49ers put in front of them. But if they did offer a multi-year extension, I'm sure it was at a number that a 975-yard receiver would scoff at. He would be like, what are you talking about? You got receivers out here. You make 1,000 yards. Come on, man. We're making $26 million a year. Ain't you heard? But the bottom line is Juwan, that was very circumstantial last year. It was not going to repeat itself. You're opening yourself up to injury. And when the only added money that you get is incentive money, what happens when you miss a bunch of games, which I think is about to happen? It's super easy on the back end of this to look back and say you made a bad bet. However, I didn't love it to begin with. I didn't realize when he took the incentive package that a multi-year deal had been put on the table. I would love to know what that number was.
Yep.
But I'll tell you this, Juwan, if it was higher than $15 million a year, you made the wrong choice. You were not going to put those numbers up for the 49ers again, and now you're really not going to put those numbers up for the 49ers again.
And when you hit free agency at the end of the year, you're not in a great spot to go out there, if you miss a bunch of games, to go out there and get more than what you could have gotten. So yeah, that's a tough one to say, but you've always talked about, like, you know, the guaranteed money and get your money while you can. And whatever the number was, I don't know how much the guarantee would have been, but I would bet that he was in line to get more money than what he got in this one-year deal. My third thing, and, you know, 888-957-9570 if you disagree, but I thought yesterday was a Shanahan masterclass. At the end of the first half, he might have gotten a little conservative. Grandy was making this point on overtime, trying to go down and settle for the field goal, knowing you'd get the ball back. Well, the field goal missed, and so that kind of blew up in his face a little bit. But in the second half, especially after he lost Kittle in the second quarter, the way he used his personnel groups, he used a lot of Juszczyk, and he put him out there on the line as an extra tight end. He went to a lot of two tight end sets. He did what he had to do with the personnel he had, and ultimately, yeah, you gave McCaffrey the ball a lot more than what fans would want, but he gave CMC the ball left and right. He threw it to him to the left, to the right. I thought the way Shanahan called the game, considering who he had remaining on his team, I thought it was a genius game for him to call and to get the win in that fashion.
Well, I'll give him this. It was a really tough game to call. I don't know if everything, you know, it kind of hits me. Sorry to go back to Downer Dylan, who called in a short time ago. But when people are like, why don't you dial up Pearsall more? That's not how you don't dial people up. Every play has multiple options. You have no idea when a play is executed or not. Who was option one, two, three, four? Or if Brock Purdy just takes off and then starts to try to make something out of nothing. So it's not a video game. Kyle does not have a little controller in his hand. So remove that. And what I would say is you end up in a football game on the road, you end up in a grinder against a really good defense, you end up with George Kittle going out, you would then end up with Juwan Jennings going out. You were already very shorthanded at that position, and you at least have some sort of nervousness, I would guess, in the back of your mind about Christian McCaffrey. And I just think you end up with an offense that's going out there, and it does not have the options that it would normally have. It does not have as many sort of, you know, pieces of silverware in the drawer as what you're used to. And you're right, they found a way to make it work anyway. So deserves a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, and they did dial up Pearsall, quote-unquote, and that was the intended target on his second interception. So it's not like Pearsall was just completely neglected. He had four catches, he had seven targets, and one of the ones he didn't catch was an interception. So I just look at the way Shanahan went about it, and so much in the second half especially was two tight ends and two running backs, which means just one receiver. And a lot of that was Pearsall, and a lot of that was just to run the ball. You brought in Farrell and Tongis. You had Juszczyk and usually CMC, sometimes Robinson, and you just set about to run the ball. And that second drive they had was about 13 plays, total domination, and then the field goal gets blocked. So if you're Shanahan, you're thinking,
oh, yeah,
this is what we do. Like, they went from their own 25 all the way down to the 18. Fourth and two, they converted a fourth down, which, by the way, they converted two fourth downs on the game. Shanahan did, you know, Captain Conservative. But I just thought that he was very much in his bag with a bag that was not Gucci. That thing was more like a plastic bag from the grocery store. He didn't have he was down a couple of big-time weapons.
All right, three things, and we'll go to the phones, back to the phones here in just a sec. 888-957-9570, but as we had told you, Kyle Shanahan's conference call was at 3:30, so that started 7 minutes ago, and Grandy apparently has a George Kittle update. What do we got there, Mark?
Yeah, Shanahan is speaking right now. He has said that George Kittle's hamstring injury will likely cost him, quote, a few weeks. That is the early indication. A few weeks, is the word from Kyle Shanahan. Also, Brock Purdy has a left shoulder and toe injury that make him uncertain for Sunday's game in New Orleans.
Whoa.
Kyle Shanahan also said that. So the team will see how the practice week goes with
left
Brock
shoulder
Purdy
and toe that make him uncertain for Sunday. Huh.
Brock Purdy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brock Purdy. Left shoulder and a toe. Okay.
And then Juwan Jennings, they're still evaluating the shoulder. He said, quote, the MRI was good, but waiting on the CT scan.
Okay, that's awesome. I don't know. Okay, MRI, CT, what are you, Dr. Dibbs, what are we looking for?
MRI would indicate something that is torn, such as a labrum. Okay. I tore my labrum in my left shoulder, and when you look at the MRI, the labrum holds your shoulder basically together. And
that's what I was worried about on this one.
And when that thing is torn, your shoulder will dislocate at the very presence of raising your arm, and I think the CT scan is more about, you know, the bones and maybe nerves as well to see if there's something else that's in there that's causing him that that level of discomfort.
Okay. All right. Yeah, he was not able to lift his arm up at all during the fourth quarter and then after the game yesterday. So I was absolutely fearing the worst with Juwan. That's kind of interesting that they're kicking the can down the road a little bit here, because I the way I look at these, and I don't know, so maybe I'm wrong on this, but we've talked to enough doctors and team doctors that I'm always of the belief, like, y'all know what's going on a lot quicker than you let on. Like, it's incredible to learn how much those doctors know right there in that blue tent. Like, right there in that blue tent. You know what I mean? Like, I've talked to doctors who are like, you want to diagnose a torn ACL? Takes 3 seconds. Whoop. Yep, it's gone.
That's an easy one.
They grab your thigh,
they grab your shin, and they go, whoop, whoop, yeah. Up, it's gone.
We got to wait for tomorrow, we got an MRI, it's like, no, they know.
They know.
So I don't know what they know right now about Juwan, but I guess that's a good start.
Great start.
That's a good start, but yeah. They also signed Kendrick Bourne already also.
Yes.
Which would suggest they're a little concerned about it. Or they hated what they saw from some of the other fill-ins. I don't know.
That's all possible. And when you're looking at this, and you use the expression a lot about, like, survivor, wide receiver survivor, yes, it's basically what this is. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling, so new, no targets. And Russell Gage from the practice squad, no targets. Sky Moore, please don't throw him the ball, no targets. So, yeah, as you look forward, you're going to need to have a little bit more from a wide receiver standpoint. Because you can't just run two tight ends and or two running backs all game, every game. You can't give McCaffrey 31 touches a week.
We're going to play Kyle Shanahan's comments a little bit later once everybody can gather it together. But further updates. So you heard Grandy say George Kittle, probably going to cost him a few weeks. Juwan Jennings still evaluating. MRI was good. They're going for CT. Purdy dealing with a left shoulder and toe. We'll see how the week progresses. The toe is more serious than the shoulder. Okay? No reports of anything on Trent Williams. So he is good to go. Here's the biggie. Y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
On the kicking situation, quote, we're looking into all of that now. And did mention the word tryouts.
He did mention it.
Yeah. So once again, I'll go back to the crossover. He did not give Jake the vote of confidence that I feel the internet feels he did.
Well, he gave him a vote of confidence on that day.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's how he took it. He played a semantics game and nobody knew that's what he was doing. Is there any doubt he's your kicker now? No. No, I was just out there. He's our kicker.
Right.
Ask me again tomorrow.
And they did.
And they got a different answer, didn't they?
And the answer today was maybe there's going to be tryouts.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.